Raja Jana Ranjana. Yashodanandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Yashodanandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Chamunatira Vanachari Chamunatira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Radha Jaya Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Radhe Jaya Panchatattva 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 Jaya Panchatattva Jaya Prahlad Nrisimha, Jaya Prahlad Nrisimha, Prahlad Nrisimha, Jaya Prahlad Nrisimha. Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada.
ISKCON PITA VANUSHA SHILA PRABHUPAD KI SAMVETA GAURA BHAKTA VRINDA KI INDRAASHIMIN BHAGVATAM KI CHAYANITAI GAURA PRAMANANDI OM AGYANATI MIRANDHASYA GYANANJANA SHALAKAYA Chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha Shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale Svayam rupa kadamahyam dadati svapatantikam Pandeham shri guru shri yutapadakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha Shri rupam sagrajatam sahaganaragunatan vitam tam sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb, Text 35 and 36. 36 is on the board.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tada Puman Mukta.
Mistake, it should be Mukta.
Mukta Samasta Bandhanas. Tada Puman Mukta Samasta Bandhanas. Tada Puman Mukta Samasta Bandhanas. Tadbhava Bhavano Kritashaya Kriti. Tadbhava Bhavano Kritayashaya Kriti. Tadbhava Bhavano Kritashaya Kriti. Nirdagdha Pijanushaya Mahiyasa. Nirdagta Bijanushaya Mahiyasa. Nirdagta Bijanushaya Mahiyasa. Bhakti Prayogena Samet Yadhokshajam. Bhakti prayogena sametya dhokshajam. Bhakti prayogena sametya dhokshajam. Tada puman mukta samasta bandhanas. Tad bhava bhavanu kritayashaya kriti. Nirdagda Bijanushaya Mahiyasa. Bhakti Prayogena Samitya Dhakshajam. Tada Puman Mukta Samasta Bandhanas. Tad Bhava Bhavanu Kritayashaya Kriti. Nirdagta Bijanushaya Mahiyasa. Bhakti Prayogena Samitya Dhakshajam. Tada Puman Mukta Samasta Bandhanas. Tad Bhava Bhavanu Kritashaya Kriti. Nirdagta Bijanushaya Mahiyasa. Bhakti Prayogena Samitya Dhakshajam. Tada Puman Mukta Samasta Bandhanas. Tad Bhava Bhavanu Kritashaya Kriti. Nirdagta Bijanushaya Mahiyasa. Bhakti Prayogena Samitya Dhakshajam. Tada Puman Mukta Samasta Bandhanas. Tad bhava bhavanushaya shaya kriti. Bhakti prayogena samitya dhakshajam. tadapuman mukta samasta bandhanas bhavanushaya shaya kriti nirdakta bijanushayo mahiyasa bhakti prayogena sametya dakshajam. Tadapuman mukta samasta bandhanas tadbhava bhavanukritashaya kriti nirdakta bijanushayo mahiyasa bhakti prayogena sametya dakshajam.
Others?
Tadapuman mukta samasta bandhanas tadbhava bhavanukritashaya kriti nirdakta bijanushayo mahiyasa bhakti prayogena sametya dakshajam. Tadapuman mukta samasta bandhanas tadbhava bhavanukritashaya kriti nirdagda bijanushayo mahiyasa bhakti prayogena sametya dakshajam.
Tada, at that time,
Puman,
the living entity,
Mukta,
liberated,
Samasta Bandhana,
from all material obstacles on the path of devotional service,
Tat Bhava,
of the situation of the Supreme Lord's activities,
Bhava,
by thinking,
Anukrita,
made similar,
Ashaya Akritihi,
whose mind and body,
Nirdagdha,
completely burned up,
Bija,
the seed or original cause of material existence,
Anushayaha,
desire,
Mahiyasa,
very powerful,
Bhakti,
of devotional service,
Prayogena,
by the application,
Sameti,
achieves,
Adhokshajam,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the reach of the material mind and knowledge. Before we read the translation, we'll just go back to 35.
Yada graha grasta eva kvachidhasat yakrandate dhyayati vandate janam muhusvashan vakti hare jagatpate narayane tyatma matirgatatrapaha.
Translation: when a devotee becomes like a person haunted by a ghost, he laughs and very loudly chants about the qualities of the Lord. Sometimes he sits to perform meditation, and he offers respects to every living entity, considering him a devotee of the Lord. Constantly breathing very heavily, he becomes careless of social etiquette, and loudly chants like a madman, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, O my Lord, O Master of the Universe. Report: when one chants the holy name of the Lord in ecstasy, not caring for outward social conventions, it is to be understood that he is Atmamati. In other words, his consciousness is turned toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 36. The devotee is then freed from all material contamination because he constantly thinks of the Lord's pastimes and because his mind and body have been converted to spiritual qualities. Because of his intense devotional service, his ignorance, material consciousness, and all kinds of material desires are completely burnt to ashes. This is the stage at which one can achieve the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. When a devotee is completely purified, he becomes anyabhilashita shunya. In other words, all of his material desires become zero, being burnt to ashes, and he exists either as a Lord's servant, friend, father, mother, or conjugal lover. Because one thinks constantly in this way, one's present material body and mind are fully spiritualized, and the needs of one's material body completely vanish from one's existence. An iron rod put into a fire becomes warmer and warmer, and when it is red hot, it is no longer an iron rod, but fire. Similarly, when a devotee constantly engages in devotional service and thinks of the Lord in his original Krishna consciousness, he no longer has any material activities, for his body is spiritualized. Advancement in Krishna consciousness is very powerful, and therefore, even during this life, such a devotee has achieved the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. This transcendental ecstatic existence of a devotee was completely exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya writes as follows: Tad bhava bhava tad yatasvarupam bhaktihi kechid bhakta vinrityanti gayanti cha yapetsitam kechid tushnim jabantieva kechid shobhaya karinaha. The ecstatic condition of devotional service was completely exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who sometimes danced, sometimes cried, sometimes sang, sometimes remained silent, and sometimes chanted the holy name of the Lord. That is perfect spiritual existence. Let's read the translations again. When a devotee becomes like a person haunted by a ghost, he laughs and very loudly chants about the qualities of the Lord. Sometimes he sits to perform meditation, and he offers respects to every living entity, considering him a devotee of the Lord. Constantly breathing very heavily, he becomes careless of social etiquette and loudly chants like a madman, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, O my Lord, O Master of the Universe. The devotee is then freed from all material contamination because he constantly thinks of the Lord's pastimes and because his mind and body have been converted to spiritual qualities. Because of his intense devotional service, his ignorance, material consciousness, and all kinds of material desires are completely burnt to ashes. This is the stage at which one can achieve the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. The chapter is entitled What Prahlad Learned in the Womb. And here he's explaining those teachings that he gained from Narad Muni to his demoniac Asuric classmates. So earlier in the chapter it described that Prahlad is there in the Asurakul, the demoniac Gurukul. And even before this, he's proven himself to be an unalloyed pure devotee of the Lord. And Hiranyakashipu has already tried to change Prahlad's attraction to the Lord. He's tried to torture him in various ways. But Prahlad's devotion is steadfast. And now he's again been sent to the Gurukul to be indoctrinated in the ways of the Asuras, in the last hope that maybe Prahlad will change his ways and become a good Asura child. So these instructions are being given during the break. Even today in all schools there is a recess or a break. The Chandanamarka have gone home to have lunch, and the boys are also supposed to relax, have a break, have their lunch. But instead of that, Prahlad's devotional fervor is so great that he's using this time when the children are not supervised by their teachers to preach Krishna consciousness to all the Asura children. And so generally, maybe half an hour, 1 hour maximum, there is a break during the school day. So you can see in this chapter how Prahlad has summarized the process of Krishna consciousness so expertly in such a short time, in just, you know, however many verses there are here, 40, 50 verses. Just 1 or 2 weeks ago, it seemed we were in a very kind of slow section talking about body and soul and Paramatma and the modes of material nature. But suddenly, last few verses were already, you know, in the highest levels of ecstasy in devotional service, attraction to the Lord, where the devotee is so much overwhelmed that he's not even following social etiquette. So in just such a short period, Prahlad has been able to summarize the process of Krishna consciousness from the very beginning, neophyte stage of understanding the difference between soul and body to this very high, high level of attraction to the Lord. Not only that, this knowledge that he's giving is not simply theory. Because if we go back to chapter 4, when Prahlad is first described, all these symptoms that he's describing in these verses, he himself was exhibiting. In chapter 4, text 38, it talks that Prahlad was always absorbed in thought of Krishna, so he did not know how his bodily necessities, sitting, walking, eating, lying down, drinking, talking, were being automatically performed. So he was simply absorbed in Krishna 24 hours a day, and his bodily functions were just somehow or other going on or not going on. Very, very high level. And sometimes he cried, laughed, expressed jubilation, sometimes he sang loudly, sometimes he would have darshan of the Lord, and he would call out loudly in full anxiety, thinking that the Lord is going to be separated from him. Sometimes he lost his shyness, began dancing in ecstasy. Sometimes he imitated the pastimes of the Lord. Being fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, he felt oneness with the Lord. Sometimes he actually felt the Lord touching him with his lotus hands, and then he became silent and stunned in ecstasy. His hairs would stand on end and tears would glide down his eyes. So all these symptoms were manifest by Prahlad Maharaj due to his great ecstatic devotional sentiment towards the Lord. And in these verses, he's encouraging his classmates that you too can come to this level of Krishna consciousness without much delay. And so text 35, it talks about devotee becomes when he becomes a person, like a person haunted by a ghost. So there are certain symptoms that haunted people exhibit. They don't take care of their body, they speak very loudly or maybe seemingly inappropriately. Sometimes people get possessed and they can't even control their functions. So generally this is considered a very tamasic condition for someone to be possessed by a ghost, and very dangerous situation. And in Shastra also, the position of the living entity in the material world is compared to someone being haunted by a ghost. Jagadananda Pandit in his Prema Vivarta has given a verse, Pishachi paila jeno mati channo hai, maya grasta jeev hai se bhavudai. It's a Bengali verse. It's saying just like Pishachi, we know Pishachi from the Jeev Jagwa song, Kota Nidra Jayo Maya Pishachi Rakole. Pishachi is the like putana, rakshasi, demoness. Like someone is possessed by a demoness or possessed by a ghost, so then their mati chanahai, their intelligence becomes covered over. And they do all sorts of things. When Prabhupada would explain this verse, he generally would say they speak all sorts of nonsense, and they may not even recognize their own family members. They start abusing their mother or father because they're not themselves. They can't understand what's going on, you know, who is in front of me, and they can't control their speech or their bodily functions. Pishachi pailo jena mati chano hai, maya krasta jeev hai se bhavudai. So this is generally considered a very, you know, tamasic fallen condition to be possessed by a pishachi, possessed by a ghost. But actually the comparison is given that in the material world, everyone who is in the clutches of Maya, they are in a similar condition. Just like the example is given of the prison house, you know, people in the prison are in a very fallen condition of life, but actually on a higher level, the entire material world is a prison. So in the same way, just like someone who is possessed by a ghost or who's mad is considered very fallen, but in another sense, everyone in the material world is possessed of Maya, possessed by Maya, and therefore we're speaking so much nonsense. We don't know what our true identity is, and in this way we're more and more entangled in material existence. Prabhupada tells a story of a lawyer in Calcutta. There was a murder case, and the accused party who committed the murder, his lawyer was defending that. He was pleading insanity, that's what they call it nowadays. He pleads insanity. He was insane when he committed this murder, therefore he shouldn't be charged or he should be given, you know, minimal punishment. This is a very common legal tactic. Even in those days, British times, when Prabhupada was young, it was going on. So the judge called in the civil surgeon to testify. Is this accused person actually mad, or is it just a bluff? So Prabhupada relates the story that the civil surgeon said, actually in my practice, my experience is that everybody to some degree or other is mad. It's simply a question of degree. So he's telling the judge, Your Honor, you can decide in this case whether that's grounds for excusing this accused person of murder, but in my experience, everyone is mad, more or less. So anyone in the material world influenced by Maya is considered to be in the grip of this pishachi or this ghost. But here the example is different. Here the example of the ghost is a positive example, that when one is overcome by ecstasy in the performance of his devotional service, then he becomes graha grasta. The same word is used, grasta. He becomes ecstatic. He's also not in control of his bodily functions. He's also not in control of his speech. He's spontaneously calling out the name of Narayan. One loudly chants like a madman, Hare Krishna, O my Lord, O Narayan, O Jagatpati, the Master of the Universe. These are the different names of the Lord that the devotee is chanting in ecstasy. So one may be haunted by a ghost and chant all sorts of nonsense, or one may be possessed of very high level of Krishna consciousness, and then one will chant the Lord's holy names in ecstasy, crying out very loudly. So, this is a very, very high level of devotional service, and we don't often see such examples in the material world. Twice in the purport, Prabhupada states that this ecstatic existence of a devotee, the ecstatic condition of devotional service, was completely exhibited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we know how Lord Chaitanya came to taste that ecstasy of the highest prema that the gopis were feeling, and he exhibited that in his own practice of devotional service. And there's an interesting line from Madhvacharya in the purport. Prabhupada quotes, Kechid bhakti vinrityanti gayanti tushnim japanti. There are different ecstatic symptoms that a pure devotee manifests: dancing, crying, singing, remaining silent, chanting. So all of these symptoms were exhibited by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just as we read, Prahlad Maharaj was exhibiting those symptoms, Lord Chaitanya, especially towards the end of his leela, he was constantly in this mood of separation from Krishna, searching for Krishna, and performing all sorts of very strange and amazing pastimes, which even his intimate associates were bewildered by. If you read the last few chapters of Antya Leela, there are so many stories how Lord Chaitanya, simply seeing, anything would remind him of Krishna, and he would fall into a swoon of ecstasy. Just like he fell into the ocean. He saw the ocean in the full moon night. Immediately he was reminded of the river Yamuna and of Krishna's pastimes with the gopis in the water. And he jumped into the ocean in ecstasy, and his body was swept away for many kilometers, maybe 40, 50 kilometers. He was swept up the coast towards Konark. There's the famous Konark temple near Jagannath Puri. So somewhere there, Lord Chaitanya was being tossed about in the ocean. And then we know how the fisherman caught the body of the Lord in his net. And so this fisherman was fishing alone in the night, a very ghastly job actually. But he, even in that condition, he says that he was chanting prayer to Lord Nrsingadev. Even a fisherman catching fish, he was chanting to Lord Nrsingadev for protection. This is his very dangerous and ghastly occupation. So when he caught this body in the ocean, he thought, oh, I have a big catch today, some big fish I've caught, I can sell this for a lot of money. And then when he pulled the net in, he saw this strange figure. He couldn't even make out, is it human or is it a fish, what is it? And when he touched the body of the Lord, then he also became as if haunted by a ghost. And by this time, the Lord Chaitanya's devotees are searching for him. The Lord has disappeared once again. Sometimes they would lock him inside the room, and he was still get out mystically. So Swarupa Damodara and the other devotees are searching along the beach, you know, where is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared now? And they always had this worry that one time he's going to disappear and he'll never return. So they're in great anxiety. And they see this fisherman walking down the beach in madness. Now, and he's displaying all these symptoms as we have been reading here. And Swarupa Damodara, being very intelligent, he thinks this person must have had some connection with Lord Chaitanya because he's exhibiting these symptoms of ecstasy. So he asks the fisherman, you know, what happened to you? Are you okay? What's going on? He said, oh, you know, I caught this creature in my net, and after touching him, I've been possessed by this ghost, and I'm trying to find an exorcist who is going to exorcise this ghost from me. Now, otherwise, you know, I'm going to go crazy and I won't be able to carry on. So Swarupa Damodara understood, okay, this person must know where the Lord is. So he said, oh, you're in luck today. I'm a great exorcist. I can remove the ghost from you. So he just gave the fisherman a slap, and they chanted Hare Krishna, and he said, okay, now you're fine. And the fisherman was kind of jolted. So he said, where is this body that you've pulled out of the ocean? And so the fisherman took them. Then the devotee saw that Lord Chaitanya was in a very piteous condition. All his limbs were, all the joints were loose from his limbs, and his body had become elongated, and he was just lying unconscious. So then again, as usually, the devotees would surround the Lord and perform very loud kirtan, and then slowly the Lord would come back to external consciousness. So every time when the Lord would go into this samadhi, then he would be having different visions of Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. So it's a very high topics and very high level of ecstasy, but Lord Chaitanya has given us the example of how, you know, pure devotee immersed in such ecstasy of the Lord, how he exhibits those symptoms. So devotees were always in great anxiety how to control the Lord, how to, you know, he wouldn't hurt himself, because every time he would, another time he disappeared from the room and they found him lying in the middle of the goshala, the cows were all around, you know, there's a risk of injury. Devotees were thinking like this, we have to protect the Lord from these fits of ecstasy that he's exhibiting, so he doesn't, you know, come to any harm. Devotees were thinking like this very protectively. So even, you know, within this material world, you know, still having a material body, these symptoms can be manifest. And of course, Lord Chaitanya's body is spiritual, but there are other examples of great devotees who have shown these symptoms of ecstasy, even possessing a material body. In Nectar Devotion, there's the verse, Iha yasya hare dasya karma na manasa gira nikilapya pyavastha su jivan mukta su uchyate. So even within this, having a material body, someone who is completely absorbed his mind, his words, his body in the service of the Lord, even in this material sphere, he can, he's considered a mukta purush, jivan mukta su uchyate. He's a liberated person, even within this material world, if his mind, body, and words are fully dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there are different symptoms mentioned here. One of them is, you know, laughing very loudly. So, you know, we may think that this is just some kind of random symptom, but if we look into it a bit further, we can see that actually all of these symptoms have been given great elaboration. In Rupa Goswami has written in Nectar of Devotion, there are different kinds of laughing. Does anyone know how many kinds of laughing ecstasy there are? He's given in Nectar of Devotion a description of 6 different kinds of laughing ecstasy. You know, so it's not just some sentiment or something random, but very scientifically, Rupa Goswami has categorized these symptoms and given 6 different kinds of laughing ecstasy. I may not get into all of them, but the list at least is smita, hasita, vihasita, and avahasita, apahasita, and atihasita. So there's 6 different kinds of laughing can be manifest by pure devotee of the Lord. And he gives example of each of them. So you can, if you're interested in this subject, you can look it up in the Laughing Ecstasy chapter of Nectar of Devotion, chapter 46. So, sometimes these symptoms are manifest by insincere devotees or by pretenders. In yesterday's class, Maharaj touched on this. The sahajiyas like to display such symptoms of ecstasy, but they're not real. They're simply doing that to get some recognition. So we know in Bengal especially there are many upper sampradayas, and there's also list given, Aul, Baul, Karta Bhaji, Sakhi, Beki, I think 8 or 10, 12 different kinds of sahajiyas have been listed. So nowadays I think we don't see so many, at least not here, we don't have so much experience of them, but now these groups were very prevalent, you know, over the centuries in Bengal especially. And actually there's even an instance where in the early days of ISKCON, 1967, when the first temple was established in San Francisco, then there was a group of Baals who had come from India to do kirtan in some theater. So Mukunda Maharaj relates the story that he was in the temple, I guess it was Frederick Street, and these five or six, you know, Bengali Vaishnava looking people came inside the temple to have darshan. They're all dressed in saffron, long hair, the typical kind of, you know, musician Baul look. And one of them, the leader, had a little dog puppy with him. And they weren't sure what to make of these people, you know, who are they? Are they our Gaudiya Vaishnavas, maybe Gaudiya Math devotees? Or so they were trying to make out who are these people, and they introduced themselves, oh, I'm so-and-so Subal, this is my group, we're here to perform at such-and-such theater, Fillmore Theater, I think it was. And Mukunda was like, didn't know what to say to them, because they brought the dog inside the temple. And most people, you know, understand that you don't bring an animal into a place of worship. But he didn't want to be rude to them. But they understood that he was a little bit uncomfortable. They said, okay, don't worry, this dog, should I put it outside? I can put it outside if you want. And he said, no, it's okay, you know. They didn't want to be rude. And they said, oh, you know, our group, Swamiji, is also from Bengal. And they were, you know, nodding, and they looked around a little bit and they left. And they said, oh, you can come to our performance on such and such day here. They even gave them tickets. They had two tickets. So turned out Mukunda and Shamsutra went to see the performance, but there was some other band playing. They got distracted and they didn't even stay for the Baal's performance. But later on, when another occasion, soon after that, the devotees were performing kirtan in a theater. And during the kirtan, this Subal, this leader of their group, he suddenly appeared in all his, you know, saffron, you know, robes and with his nice hair, and he started dancing in ecstasy, apparent ecstasy, in the middle of the kirtan, kind of stealing the show from the devotees. And, you know, they didn't really know what to make out or what to do with him, so they just let him do his thing, spinning around and, you know, putting his head to the sky and, you know, as if he's absorbed in ecstasy, like Lord Chaitanya. And when they finished the kirtan, they recited the prayers, the Subal person, he just paid dandavats and didn't get up. You know, everyone gets up and they start to exit, but this person was just like, as if in a trance or as if he's fainted, just lying there. And all the people were like, you know, what to do with him? Is he, you know, they're kind of impressed, and he seems to be real, you know, intoxicated by prema. And Mukunda Shamsun, a little more experienced, they, you know, they figured this is just a show. And they just left. And later on they told Prabhupada the story about how these people had come and how this Subal person had manifested this ecstasy, so-called ecstasy. And Mukunda told Prabhupada, you know, I think it wasn't really genuine. He was trying to get some recognition from, you know, respect from the audience. And Prabhupada said, yes, you're correct. He was trying to act like Lord Chaitanya. What he should have done, and Prabhupada kind of very dramatically said to the, you know, showed them, said, you should have just put your boot on his face. And Prabhupada actually kicked out his leg to show how they should have dealt with him. Prabhupada didn't have patience for these kinds of false ecstasies. And actually there's another interesting story of a personality who, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he was also similarly trying to show his advanced state. This is given in the Chaitanya Bhagavat Adi Lila. Interesting story, also a bit related to our topic today. There was one snake charmer when I was young here in Gurukul, sometimes the, you know, it's like a stereotype of India, land of snake charmers. You know, you have the guy with his little kind of fluty kind of thing with a basket and the cobras. But we actually saw that when I was young here, the guy who come around to Gurukul with a big basket and be a few snakes coming out. So the snake charming job was, you know, had an important function in society. So in this instance, this snake charmer, he actually became possessed of Lord Ananta. Just like we're talking about people being possessed by ghosts. So he was possessed by Lord Ananta, who is the Lord of all snakes. And he was singing about Krishna's pastimes with Kaliya. And Haridas Thakur was present in that assembly. And when he heard this pastimes of Krishna and Kaliya, he also went into ecstasy. And he was, you know, dancing, chanting, falling on the ground. And the snake charmer, being possessed by Ananta, he very respectfully let Haridas Thakur display all his ecstasy, and all the people were very respectful to Haridas Thakur, and much in awe of his ecstasy. But there was one pseudo Sahajiya Brahmana in the crowd, and he thought, well, look at Haridas, he's getting so much respect from this crowd, and he's not even Hindu, he's born in a Muslim family. What if I, Brahmana, were to do the same thing? Just imagine how much honor I would gain. So he also started to, you know, swoon in ecstasy, roll on the ground, and pretend that he's experiencing all these ecstatic symptoms. But the snake charmer, in this instance, he didn't tolerate that. He took a stick, he started belting and beating this brahmana very severely. And the brahmana was, you know, immediately abandoned his so-called ecstasy and started calling for his mother, father, screaming in pain, and ran away. So in that way, the snake charmer, the Lord Ananta, through the snake charmer, had dealt with this pseudo false sahajiya. So the people then asked, you know, my dear Prabhu, when Haridas was in ecstasy, you were so respectful. And when this brahmana did the same thing, you beat him with a stick. You know, what is, please explain your behavior. What is the difference? So then he explained that Haridas Thakur is a genuine Vaishnava and this person is simply making a show. So to conclude, I wanted to also bring up some examples of Srila Prabhupada. Generally, we don't think that Srila Prabhupada exhibited often these ecstatic symptoms. So I did a bit of research to find out, you know, how many times was it recorded that Srila Prabhupada went into ecstasy like this. So there were several instances. And also the reason, what was the trigger for Srila Prabhupada to display these ecstasies? Generally he would go into it, like, he was, I think on every occasion, he was speaking to a group of devotees, either giving class or darshan, and he would kind of become stunned, he wouldn't be able to continue speaking. So it happened here in Mayapur a couple of times. During the 1975, I believe it was, Gopurnima festival. So in those days, devotees may not be aware, but where Prabhupada is now, the Vyasasana Prabhupada, that's where Radha Madhav were. And they were facing that way. And the Chaitanya exhibition, which is the ground floor of the Lotus building, that was the temple. And Prabhupada's Vyasasana was on the end of the long building, facing this way, and Radha Madhav were facing that way. So I was trying to find out exactly what was the topic that Prabhupada was talking about. It seems that he was speaking to the devotees, you know, big crowd of devotees who come for the Gopurnima festival. And what I could gather is he was saying that, you know, you're all very young men, you have so many years ahead of you, so much energy, you can do so much service for Krishna. I'm an old man, any moment I might disappear. And Prabhupada wasn't able to continue speaking. The previous occasion also in Los Angeles, the same subject, Prabhupada had gone into a trance. So on this occasion, it seemed like a very long silence and no one really knew what to do. And all the devotees were sitting there very expectantly and Prabhupada has just gone into samadhi. So eventually somebody started a kirtan and the devotees, you know, still weren't sure should they break Prabhupada's samadhi or should they just keep silent. Slowly some devotees continued the kirtan and then Prabhupada, you know, left. So afterwards there was some controversy. What should the devotees do in this situation? Now, should they have started the kirtan or should they just kept quiet and let Prabhupada naturally, you know, continue whatever he was doing? So Brahmananda Swami was the secretary at the time, so the devotees told him, you please ask Prabhupada what we should do. And Prabhupada was actually kind of a little embarrassed, it seemed, to even talk about it. He said, oh yeah, that doesn't happen very often. He was a bit shy to even talk about it. And I said, so what should we do in such an occasion? So and so started kirtan, is that okay? He said, yes, you know, that's fine, kirtan is good. So he was kind of, Prabhupada didn't really want to talk about it or, you know, get into it. He was actually a little bit, seemed to be shy and embarrassed. So there are some other occasions that Prabhupada showed this ecstasy at least twice. When he chanted the Jai Radha Madhava, the bhajan that we sing every day, once in Allahabad, once in Gorakhpur. Actually, the same small Radha Madhava deities that are on the altar here, they were originally in Kumbh Mela in Allahabad, and then Prabhupada traveled to Gorakhpur, which is in North UP, near the border of Nepal. And Prabhupada was staying there for some time, doing some programs. So Radha Madhava were there, Prabhupada started chanting the bhajan there. And he was explaining the song. We sing it every day, and we don't think twice, mostly. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Prabhupada was saying, this is a complete picture of Vrindavan. The Yashoda is there, Krishna is there, Govardhan Hill is there. And as Prabhupada was explaining the song, he just kind of went into a samadhi of a vision of Vrindavan, and he wasn't able to continue speaking. So at least two or three times that happened. Another time in New York, Prabhupada was meeting with a group of artists, and they were showing him different artwork. And Hridayananda Maharaj relates this story. And he suddenly wanted to hear the Jeev Jago bhajan. So they brought a recording of Prabhupada himself singing Jeev Jago. And just started listening to that and kind of, you know, lost external awareness. And again, the devotees were sitting there, you know, what should we do? Should we just leave? And they started to leave, but then one artist brought another painting for it to Prabhupada for his comments. And then Prabhupada said, yes, this isn't very nice art. This is a good painting. Then he looked around and said, actually, all of you are very good. You're all very nice too. And in your association, even though I am so bad, I'm also becoming nice. Another time in Sydney, Prabhupada was speaking about the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. He went into ecstasy. Another time in Chicago, Prabhupada was talking about Ajamil. You know, we don't think of Ajamil as someone who's going to inspire this mood of ecstasy. But when Prabhupada was talking about Ajamil, named his son Narayan, and he said, Narayan, come here, bring my, you know, come to me, Narayan, drink some water, Narayan, take your meal, Narayan, go to sleep, imitating Ajamil, calling his son. And just by speaking those few, you know, phrases, Narayan this, Narayan that, Prabhupada just stopped speaking and was stunned in ecstasy. So it's not that, you know, only if we're in Vrindavan, listen to Rasa Leela, then, you know, from some Rasika person, then we can access these higher levels of ecstasy. But even Prabhupada was in ecstasy hearing about Narayan or hearing about mercy of Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda. And perhaps the most, well, at least equally famous, was when Prabhupada went to Atlanta. He was doing a tour. He had gone to Mexico, Venezuela, Miami, and then Atlanta. And I think in each temple they had Gornitai deities. So he was constantly reminded of mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. And so then when he came to Atlanta, all the Radha Damodar buses had come there. Hundreds of devotees had come to receive him. And again, Prabhupada saw Gornitai on the altar. And he was explaining the Paramakaruna Pahu Duijana song, how merciful Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda are. And then in front of everybody, Prabhupada was stunned and he wasn't able to speak anymore. And if we're lucky, I have the recording of that, and to end we can just listen to it. I hope it'll be clear enough for everyone to hear. Let's see if it works.
The following is an arrival address given by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Recorded on February 28th, 1975, 22
minutes.
In Atlanta, Georgia.
Can you hear? Is that mic? Can you give me this mic also? Let's see if this will work any better.
Yeah.
Can you hear? No. I'll just repeat it then. Prabhupada said, he was just describing where he'd been. He said, "I see your temple is the best." That's when all the devotees were cheering. Now he's explaining the Paramakaruna verse.
Nitai Gaura Chanda. Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're very kind. They have appeared just to reclaim the fallen souls of the saved. So they are more kind than Krishna. Krishna is also very kind. He comes to deliver, but Krishna demands the first of all surrender. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not demand surrender. He is so kind. So, excellent procedure for the Mahaprabhu. And we have. Thank you.
Jai.
Like to end here unless we have any questions or comments.
Hare Krishna. When you say that body, mind and words, all body, mind and words completely engaged in the service of Krishna. So body we can, like when we engage, it's like without our involvement it will work. Words also, but when we engage our mind in the service of Krishna, we have to be constantly awake and we have to watch, and it's very like tiresome. When we engage our mind in the service of Krishna, it's like feel more, not practical actually, it's like always we have to be awake, we have to see the movements of our mind, and it's very difficult then, like we are engaging in our body or words. So how make our mind more like involved in the service of Krishna?
Yeah, well, mind is superior to the senses, so if one can engage one's mind, then naturally the body and the words will also be engaged. Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindhya Maharaj Ambarish, he engaged his mind in thinking about the lotus feet of the Lord, and then all the other organs, senses, his hands, his legs, everything he was, were following the direction of the mind. When the mind is under control, then it can direct us under the control of the intelligence, then the mind will direct our body and our words also to be engaged in the service of the Lord. So, you know, we have to attract our minds to Krishna, and Krishna is all attractive. So if we allow ourselves to be attracted to Krishna, to his pastimes, his name, you know, his associate, his Vaishnavas, then naturally, you know, everything else will follow from that. Yeah, I'm not sure if I completely caught your question. But if the mind is engaged, then naturally the body and the words will follow. There may be situations where, you know, there's no opportunity to perform active devotional service, but you can always engage your mind. You can always remember Krishna. You can always chant Hare Krishna, even if you may not have opportunity to actively engage in service at that time. And that way you can still be protected from, you know, from the material energy. Okay, thank you. Krantra Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanandi.